I call to order this meeting of the Planning Commission at 5:34 p.m. If everybody who is able, or actually our first order of business will be the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Commissioner Maldonado. Thank you so much. Will staff please call roll?
Certainly, thank you. Good evening. Commissioner Martinez.
Present.
Commissioner McCormick.
Here.
Commissioner Vasquez. Noted absent. Commissioner Maldonado.
Here.
Commissioner Tucker.
Here.
Vice Chair Leslie.
Here.
And Chair Vejar.
Here.
Like the record to reflect, we do have a quorum with Commissioner Vasquez absent.
At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Do we have any public comments tonight? Then we will move on to the consent calendar. All matters listed under the consent calendar are considered routine and will be enacted by one vote without separate discussion, unless a commissioner requests that an item be removed for separate action.
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. If everyone could please vote.
I make the motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Can I note, if I note this wrong, that is, it says July 7th. Okay, correct. Okay, great.
The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing, and this is a public hearing to approve a public hearing to consider an ordinance establishing farm workers and employee housing as a permitted land use for certain qualifying properties and finding of CEQA exemption. Do we have a staff report for this item?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Arlen Beck, our associate planner, will provide the staff report.
Good evening, Chair Vejar and members of the Planning Commission. Tonight I'm presenting a proposed ordinance that would amend Title 17 of the Orange Municipal Code to ensure compliance with the California Employee Housing Act, which is found in the Health and Safety Code. This ordinance directly implements housing program 4I of the City of Orange Certified Housing Element of the Orange General Plan. It's designed to remove zoning barriers that could prevent or delay the development of employee and farm worker housing, which is a key requirement under state housing law. There are three main components to this update. Number one, employee housing for six or fewer individuals must now be treated as single family residential use. This means it will be allowed in all residential zones without any special permits or additional requirements, just like any other home. Number two, employee housing for agricultural workers up to 12 units or 36 beds is now classified as an agricultural use, and it must be permitted in all zones where agricultural uses are already allowed, again, without any new restrictions. Number three, for larger scale employee housing, anything above the 12 unit or 36 bed threshold, the ordinance allows for permitting through the existing conditional use permit process, allowing the city to review those through a discretionary process. So this updates the zoning code to ensure that it clearly aligns with state regulations and provides predictability for applicants. So with that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 08-25, recommending City Council approval of the ordinance. I'm here for any questions. Thank you.
Do any commissioners have questions for staff?
I do. Good evening. I read a question on the ordinance. It's number section 4, number 2. End of the first sentence, which it talks about the six or fewer shall be considered a residential use of property by a single family. Are we intending it to mean as a single family in a single family residential district? Because not every house has a single family in it.
Yeah, it's intended to mean that that employee housing for six or fewer persons would be like any other use that would be used or would be treated like any other single family residential house.
Okay. Is that I would suggest a modification of the language that we're talking about the house, not who's in it. So a single family unit, residential unit, instead of just single family.
You certainly could. That is your purview. And just for background, the language that's proposed is similar to other statutory language and similar ordinances that the city has adopted by way of implementing the housing element. So that's where the language is coming from. But your point, certainly that's something that you can consider.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
I had a question. Based on top of that, my first initial reaction, and let me read it. I think it was... Whereas, I guess that'd be whereas number 4. Code section 170215.5 provides that employee housing consisting of no more than 6 employees shall be deemed a single family structure with a residential land use permitted in the same manner as other similar dwellings in that residential zone. I'm confused. Does that mean 6 employees, but not 6 families?
Yeah, so there is a definition for employee housing, and it would be 6 or fewer employees. So 6 or fewer individuals, not families.
Okay, so it would be a maximum of 6 inhabitants.
Yes, that's what it's understood to be.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'll just let staff know that my monitor's frozen again, so I won't be able to vote. So let you guys. But with that, we will open the public hearing. And if there are any speakers for this, are there any public comments for this item? Seeing none, then I will close the public hearing and ask the commission for a discussion. And if there's no discussion, then a motion and a second.
Chair, I would like to suggest that we modify the language that I mentioned in number 2, just to clarify that it's not the use of property by a single family, but it's considered a residential use. Maybe that's this period after that. So that there's no confusion about if we're talking about families or single persons. It's just a six or fewer. It's just a considered a house, like any house in that residential district.
That was my clarification to follow up on yours. Mm-hmm. It was meant six employees, not six families.
Would one of you like to make the motion with that edit?
Sure. Unless you want to make it. You want to make it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Martinez was making a motion.
That's correct. I make a motion that we adopt planning resolution number PC08-25, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Orange recommending that the City Council adopt an ordinance amending Title 17 of the Orange Municipal Code to comply with the Employee Housing Act, Health and Safety Code Section 17000-17062.5 regarding farm workers and employees, with the modification to the language in section 4, I believe, as presented by Commissioner Maldonado.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. We will need a roll call vote. The motion by Commissioner Martinez and the second by Commissioner Maldonado.
I'm sorry, Chair. I just have a correction because I think you mentioned number four, but it's really number two that Commissioner Maldonado had wanted the correction on. Is that correct? Was it four? Oh, shoot, 4.2, that's why. Sorry, never mind. I'm trying to keep it straight.
Actually, it's section 4.3.2.
Okay, I'd like to call the roll for the vote, if you don't mind. Commissioner Martinez?
Martinez, aye. Martinez, aye.
Thank you. Commissioner McCormick?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Vasquez is absent. Commissioner Maldonado?
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Tucker?
Aye.
Thank you. Vice Chair Leslie?
Aye.
Thank you. And Chair Behar?
Aye.
Okay, at that calculation, the motion passes 6-0-1 with Commissioner Vasquez absent.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda I will be recusing myself from because I am employed by the civil engineer on the project.
All right. The next item on the agenda is agenda item 4.2, public hearing to consider a request to construct a new warehouse facility at 534 West Struck Avenue. Do we have a staff report for that?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair. I'd like to introduce Senior Planner Monique Schwartz for the staff report.
One moment, please, until I pull up the plans. Jen, would you mind sharing the screen? Good evening, Vice Chair Leslie and members of the Planning Commission. The item before you this evening is a proposal to redevelop a 10-acre industrial site with a new warehouse facility. The applicant is Maggie Hsu of Prologis, and the Prologis development team is present this evening with any questions that you may have. In 2023, the City Council approved a proposal and environmental impact report for the construction of a truck terminal project. After project approval, the applicant determined that a truck terminal was no longer in line with current market demands and decided to pursue a new warehouse facility. The current project is a proposal to construct a new 213,572 square foot warehouse facility, a 450 square foot detached pump house, a truck yard, and related site improvements. The warehouse building is located towards the center of the site. The east side is inset to accommodate a truck loading dock with 27 dock doors, 2 delivery doors, and 45 trailer parking spaces. The warehouse building has been designed to accommodate 2 potential tenants. Main entrances are located on the northwest and southwest corners of the building. The interior will be configured with 199,572 square feet of warehouse space and 14,000 square feet of office space. Vehicle access is provided by 3 driveways off of Struck Avenue, and these driveways connect to the interior drive aisles that lead to 110 parking spaces. The building architecture is contemporary with 45-foot tall flat roof lines, enhanced corner detailing at the main entrances, vertical and horizontal reveals, and geometric scoring details. Building materials include concrete tilt-up wall panels, black anodized aluminum storefront systems, green reflective glazing, and painted metal canopies at the main entrances. The exterior color scheme incorporates shades of gray and white. Project accessory structures include a 14-foot tall detached pump house with attached trash enclosure located adjacent to the northeast corner of the building and a second trash enclosure located adjacent to the southeast corner of the building. The accessory structures incorporate similar colors and materials as the warehouse building. The project streetscape includes a new 6-foot wide sidewalk along the entire property frontage that will connect to the existing sidewalk at the Struck Avenue cul-de-sac. Water-efficient plant material, including trees, shrubs, and ground cover, is proposed along the project frontage and at the building foundation as seen from the public right-of-way. The project interior will include similar groupings of plant material, including trees along the west and south property lines. There is no landscaping proposed along the east property line that borders the existing railroad right-of-way. And the project hardscape includes concrete walkways and decorative paving at the 3 driveway entries. New wrought iron fencing is proposed along the perimeter boundaries of the site. There are no vehicle access gates at the 3 driveway entries off of Struck Avenue. A 14-foot tall concrete screen wall with metal sliding gates will be located at the entrance to the truck yard, and metal swinging gates will be located at the southeast corner of the building. The proposed wall and vehicle gates will provide secure access and screening to the truck yard and the loading dock area. Wall-mounted LED light fixtures are proposed on all building elevations, and LED pole lighting will be located in the parking lot and drive aisles for safety and security purposes. The applicant is requesting a conditional use permit to operate the warehouse facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The code limits hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. for industrial uses with outdoor activities within 300 feet of any residential zone. The Planning Commission may approve additional hours by conditional use permit when the Commission finds that the hours will not generate additional disturbance or that mitigation measures will ensure compatibility with the nearby residential districts. The project site is located approximately 47 feet from the residentially zoned Citrus Grove Apartments to the northeast across the railroad tracks. The project site is also located approximately 147 feet from the public institution-zoned Valencia Garden Apartments property to the north across Struck Avenue. The proposed warehouse building itself is located between 311 to 317 feet from the nearest residential building on each of these properties. The project has been designed to be mindful of these neighboring residential uses by incorporating various site and building design features, including the warehouse layout with a truck loading dock on the east side facing the existing railroad and away from residential uses, two designated truck trailer access driveways on the northeast and northwest corners to ensure adequate on-site queuing and circulation, installation of 14-foot tall concrete screen wall along the north side of the loading dock, layered landscape setbacks to include the northeast corner truck yard entrance, on-site signage that provides directional guidance to trucks entering and exiting the property, and truck idling restrictions. Staff has also included conditions of approval within the resolution to ensure that potential impacts from grading and construction operations and truck traffic generated by the project are minimized. An addendum to the 2003 certified EIR was prepared for the proposed warehouse project. The addendum provides verification that the revised project will not result in any new, increased, or substantially different impacts other than those previously considered and addressed in the 2023 certified EIR, and public review of the addendum is not required. The Design Review Committee reviewed the project on May 7, 2025, where they provided comments relating to the building design and color scheme, perimeter fencing and tree maintenance along the west and south property lines, retention of existing mature trees, fence location along the north property line, tree size at the front of the project, and tree pallet to reflect a more water-efficient species. The DRC recommended project approval to the Planning Commission with three conditions as stated in the staff report. The applicant has subsequently revised the plans, addressing the conditions of approval recommended by the DRC, and Attachment 7 includes the applicant's responses to the DRC's comments. Overall, the project is compliant with the development standards of the industrial zone. The project incorporates site and building design features to reduce potential impacts to the adjacent residential uses, and the project presents an integrated design that provides an updated and improved appearance to the site and the surrounding community. One letter of support for the project was received from Gina Cunningham of HomeAid, and that should have been on the public comments portal. And that concludes my presentation, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you for that report. Mm-hmm. Does the commissioners have any questions for staff?
Yeah. I had a couple questions. You know, the hours of operation, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.?
Yeah, when adjacent to, when within 300 feet of a residential zone.
Okay, so that is, we're in that condition, right?
Correct.
I was curious to see if there was any peak hours.
That question could be directed to the applicant.
Okay, all right. Second question, and this may be me just not seeing it. Is there any stormwater retention incorporated on the site?
Yes, I believe so, and I would bring that question up to the applicant as well. They can.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions from commissioners, the staff? Okay. There are no public comments for this. Just open up to the applicant at this time. Okay, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing at this time. If there's anybody from the public that has a comment they'd like to make. Oh, I see, that's right. Let me pull out of the screen here. I don't know how to get out of the screen.
Commissioner Leslie, wait. I recommend that the applicant presentation is first and then the public comments. Okay. That way you can incorporate the conversation.
Okay, sorry about that. We will start with the applicant first and we'll go to the public comments after. Get out of this screen.
I can't get out of it either. Okay.
No. Okay. Good evening, dear Planning Commission, commissioners of the City of Orange. What a pleasure to speak on behalf of Prologis tonight. My name is Maggie Xu, and I'm the development manager for this project. Before I share details about our project, first of all, I'd like to thank our staff for their continued support and guidance. It's invaluable for our project. Next slide. I'd like to introduce my design team, design and entitlement team next. Without them, we wouldn't be here tonight. Mr. Jaime Cruz, our architect with HPA, Josh Lisinski, civil engineer with Webb, Mr. Will Cochran, landscape architect with Hunter Landscape. CEQA consultant is Ms. Nicole Morse and her team at TMB Planning. The proposed project has been revised to include comments from the DIRC, and our team can provide additional explanations if you have any questions after my portion of the presentation. While the staff did an excellent job presenting the project, I'd like to highlight the following three aspects of our company and our project. Number one, who is Prologis? Number two, our practice on sustainability. Last but not least, the benefits that we're bringing to the community. Next. Let me first give you a quick snapshot of who we are at Prologis. Prologis was founded in 1983. And today we are proud to be the member of the S&P 500 under the ticker symbol PLD. Over the decades, we've become a global leader in logistics real estate, serving some of the most dynamic supply chains in the world. Our footprint spans across 20 countries and four continents, with a total portfolio of 1.3 billion square feet of logistics facilities. We are recognized as the top 100 most sustainable companies globally based on our ESG score. ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. We serve over 6,500 customers around the world, from global e-commerce leaders to local distribution firms. And financially, we're strong and stable with a credit rating of A2 from Moody's and A from S&P. This reflects our disciplined management and long-term stability. So in short, Prologis is not just about buildings. We're about enabling commerce, supporting innovation, and creating sustainable values for our customer, our partners, and our communities. Next, I'd like to talk a little bit about Prologis' significant presence in Southern California, one of the most dynamic and strategically critical logistics market in the country. Across the Southern California region, including Orange County, Los Angeles, and Inland Empire, Prologis owns and operates a vast portfolio, 548 buildings housing 717 customers, spanning 126 million square feet on a total of 8,000 acres. This positions Prologis as a market leader in enabling supply chain solutions across one of the busiest transportation corridors in the world. Zooming into Orange County, Prologis maintains a robust presence, 67 buildings with 49 customers, 7.8 million square feet, over 495 acres. We are a long-standing investor, developer, and trusted partner in Orange County, with a deep-rooted presence in the city of Orange. Over the last 20 years, We've consistently demonstrated our commitment to the community by investing in high-quality industrial properties that support local jobs, economic growth. Here in the city of Orange, we have five strategically located buildings with four active customers covering 2.3 million square feet on 52 acres. One of our core pillars within the ESG framework is our commitment to achieve net zero emissions in our operations by 2030 and across our entire value chain by 2040. One of our key goals is to ensure that 100% of our construction activities are carbon neutral by 2030. This goal translates into the following areas in building design and construction for the project: reducing the embodied carbon by at least 5% for the project with a minimum 15% reduction in concrete. We're seeing new methods in reducing volume of the concrete as well as optimizing concrete mix design. LEED certification, this project will be certified with LEED Silver. 30-year roof system with five pounds per square feet for solar ready. Upgraded microgrid electrical switchgear. Advanced smart metering for house and tenant electrical meter. 100% LED lighting in a warehouse and office space. Efficient HVAC equipment in the office. EV charging for autos and trucks. And a whole building life cycle assessment to record carbon impacts and reductions. At Prologis, sustainability isn't just a goal, it's the way we build and operate. Another aspect of our ESG framework is our efforts on engagement in the community that we work in. Prologis has been an active community partner through multiple initiatives with HomeAide, a nonprofit focused on building and supporting housing for those experiencing or at risk of homelessness. Our team put together gift bags with winter supplies and toys for the kids at the Family Care Center last December, helping ensure local families in shelters and transitional housing experience the joy during the holiday season. Our Prologis team also participated in the Home Aid Diaper Drive in May this year, addressing the critical needs of families with infants and toddlers by providing essential supplies. We have also sponsored the Home Aid annual gala event in the last several years. Most recent one was for the Project Playhouse, which combines creativity and philanthropy to build themed playhouses to raise funds and awarenesses for transitional housing. In October 2024, our local team attended the Career Day at the Santiago Canyon College, supporting local workforce development by engaging with students about careers in logistics, real estate, and sustainability. Because of our continued engagement with the community through hands-on volunteering, ongoing philanthropic effort, we've been fortunate to receive meaningful support in return. One powerful example for this comes from our trusted nonprofit partner at HomeAid, Ms. Gina Cunningham. Unfortunately, couldn't be with us tonight, but she has shared a letter expressing her deep appreciation for our collaboration. In her message, she voiced her strong support and recognize the positive impact we've made together. We are truly honored to have earned the trust and partnership of organizations like HomeAid, and we remain committed to investing in this community. Lastly, I'd like to highlight the significant economic and fiscal benefits this project will bring, not just to the property, but to the broader City of Orange community. With the new development, we are committed to upgrading the existing pavement on Strzok Avenue, covering the stretch from the cul-de-sac all the way to Batavia. This effort will improve road quality, durability, and overall traffic safety for vehicles and pedestrians alike. In addition, we're installing a new sidewalk, curb, and gutter system, along with landscape improvement along Strzok Avenue frontage. The upgrades are designed to not only improve drainage and pedestrian accessibility, but also to enhance the overall streetscape and visual appeal of the corridor. With our investment of the project, it is estimated that we'll create between 100 to 200 direct, well-paying local jobs. Everything from warehouse associates to supervisors, IT techs, maintenance staff, and office staff. Equally important is our commitment to organized labor. We are proud to partner with LIUNA and Carpenters Union to ensure that the construction is carried out using union laborers. This not only guarantees high standards of safety and craftsmanship, but also supports middle-class union families right here in the City of Orange. In addition, this development will also be a powerful contributor to the City of Orange's general fund, generating ongoing public revenue in several key categories. Property tax from the new construction and increased assessed value, sales tax from commercial activities, equipment purchase, and potential on-site retail components. Permit and development fees, immediate revenue during the entitlement construction phases, and lastly, annual taxes. The above contribution represent long-term stable funding for the community services and infrastructure here in the City of Orange. In closing, we have reviewed the staff report. I think with one exception of the hour restriction, we concur with everything else. We appreciate your consideration and are happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Do we have any questions for the applicant?
I have a quick question, Commissioner. Just when you say with the exception of the hours restriction, what would your ideal hours be?
So we asked for a CUP to cover 24 hours operation.
24 hours, that's what I'd read.
Yes, this is a speculative development, and we would prefer to provide the flexibility for our future tenants here.
Commissioner McCormick?
Yes. Yes, I had the two questions I had asked about earlier, that if you could respond to that. And an additional one that I may or may not have seen, I actually have two more. Parking lot runoff, in terms of that, in terms of polishing it before it goes to either a storm drain or retention basin.
Thank you for your questions. I do have my civil engineer from Webb. Should I bring him up now, or do you want to?
Sure.
Okay.
Good Good evening, I'm Joshua with Albert Webb Associates. Can you repeat your question again?
Yeah, I had the two that I posed to staff, which are the hours of operations, and then is there any stormwater retention incorporated on site? That was two. Number three was the parking lot runoff rainfall water polishing features. I guess I came up with that just hearing that your lead, Silver. Then the last one is the parking lot requirements. I'm not sure. Maybe my eyes are going bad. Didn't know if you exceeded the parking required code, required parking or not.
I can answer a couple of those. So regarding the retention, so the site itself doesn't need to retain anything because the existing runoff, or should I say the proposed runoff, doesn't exceed the existing flow that needs to be held on site. However, we do have underwater or underground water quality retention systems, and that does clean the water before it goes out into the street. So because the site is somewhat, it's actually the underground is lower than the street, and we don't connect into the offsite storm drain, we actually pump it out and it goes into the street.
Okay, so you do have something even more additionally provided than what was existing on site, which was...
Correct.
So that you're actually going on, giving an extra effort on that.
Correct, yeah. The modular wetland system is an underground water quality system. Due to the space that we have, there's not a lot to have a detention basin. And so it goes underground, and then that system will clean it out. And I don't believe there's any type of water quality currently there on site.
Okay, so you've answered all of them except the hours of operations. I guess I have another one. Hours of construction, I think, came up in the presentation as well.
I'll let Maggie answer those ones. Thank you.
With the question on, are you asking for the hours of operation? So I, with the addendum, we've studied sound, noise, air quality, and all of the sensitive receptors. That's the reason why we would like to propose to have the 24 hours. I do have TMB planning here. If you have any additional questions on this, on the technical studies, on the analysis, that's the intention for the. That's the reasoning for the 24-hour operation.
Okay, I have an additional question on that once you finish. I guess maybe now you can answer the hours of construction.
The construction hours, what was listed on the conditions of approval is something that we can work with.
Okay, Monique, can you weigh in on that?
Yes, we do have a condition of approval that limits the construction hours, and I am looking to 17, thank you. There's a condition regarding grading operations and one regarding construction, and the construction shall conform with the city's noise ordinance. This is number 17. OMC chapter 8.24 and shall be limited to the hours between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. No construction activity will be permitted on Sundays and federal holidays.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in my last questions are regarding, and I've had so many questions, I forgot that one. It was actually peak hours of operation. I guess my question is only being evolved from the fact that two of the more visible tenants on this dead-end struct situation with this additional Prologis being a third, and there's probably more west of, going west on struct, is the police facility, Maine Police facility. And the other one is, I just recently found out that it is the only ingress and egress of the housing at the that's connected to the cul-de-sac. So my question evolves in that way, and my question about peak, seeing a potential traffic, if both peak operations for the Prologis and peak hours for people going to work and coming home, if that was going to be a conflict.
Yeah, we do have those statistics.
I'm trying to avoid that conflict because it then would be kind of like an, you know, a 5 day a week issue.
So Nicole Morse, TMB Planning, we hired Urban Crossroads to prepare a traffic analysis for this project. The peak hours during the AM would be a total of 35 peak hours. And then in the PM hours, it's 39. That's measured over a 2 hour period, the highest peak hour within one hour. So that's approximately two trips or 2 minutes per trip that you would see going in and out during the AM and PM peak hours. I believe the city yard has access to the north, but not off of Strzok. If that's the, there's one access point I see on the.
I think that access point is for both facilities.
Okay.
Question would be, since I can't change the peak hours of the apartment complex, that's pretty obvious. I was just curious, what are the peak, like the prime time that most of the traffic would be coming to the Prologis site?
It's measured at between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. in the morning.
Okay. And the afternoon, I would assume the peak
4 to 6
hours for the apartment would be when people in that apartment complex would be going to work and then coming home.
Yes, the traffic would be opposite during those hours.
Okay, that's the case. That's what I wanted to find out.
Any other questions from the commissioners or the applicant? Thank you both so much. Thank you everyone for your comments and your presentation there. We appreciate it. I believe we have some public comments as well. We can open up that at this time. As our first speaker, Juan Serrato?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Juan Serrato. I'm here with the Laborers International Union of North America. I'm here in strong support of the Prologis project at Strzok Avenue. This is a private investment done the right way, with union contractors and local skilled workers. It means good jobs, safer work sites, and real opportunity for working families. We urge you to approve this project and keep our community forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Our next speaker is Jose Garcia.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. My name is Jose Garcia. I'm a 34-year member of the Laborers International Union of North America. Can't do much more with the diamond. These people are already polished, good people in our community, been here, are here. We stand in full support of this project and hope you do as well. Thank you so much for giving me your time.
Thank you for your comment. Is there anyone else on the public comments? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing section at this point and ask for commission discussion.
I have a question.
Okay.
Of staff. It's my understanding that this project is on the same site as a previous project that was approved.
Correct.
Can you tell me what those operating hours were previously approved as?
24 hours.
It was?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I follow up on that question?
Mm-hmm.
Since the apartment complex was built, were there any conflicts or any complaints or any issues with those hours of operation?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I was on the Planning Commission when the previous project was approved, and I do recall it was 24 hours. My question, I'm probably going to throw on you a question that you may not be familiar with, but the apartments, what is Valencia Gardens? Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity to visit that site a few times, and that's for lower income or actually homeless individuals. So do we know what the traffic is with the people going to employment like at 8 in the morning? It seems to me that the traffic was a little bit lighter, but I don't know if you have the answer to that.
I do not have the answer to that question, unfortunately.
I apologize for putting you on the spot. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
I guess this is a question for staff. So right now, there's not a CUP that's proposed or before us for the 24-hour operating hours, or are we still within the... I'm kind of confused why we discussed the 7 to 10
so
hours.
So because the project is located within 300 mm-hmm. feet of a residential zone, it's required the applicant that conducts outdoor operations would require a CUP. And typical hours of operation are from 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. to 10 p.m. That's what the limitation is in the industrial zone mm-hmm. for outdoor operations. So the applicant is requesting to operate 24 hours, 7 days a week.
So is there a CUP that's going to come before us?
There is a CUP.
It's on here. I didn't see it on the resolution. So I guess we left a page. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Yes.
I guess I have a follow-up question that since that was stated that we haven't had any complaints, I guess this could be a question to the applicant as well. Is the amount of intensity going to be equal to what was the situation where there were no complaints, or is there going to be an increase, whether it be significant or very, very minor? Just trying to get a handle on how much louder the stereo is going to get. So
are you inquiring about the truck terminal project versus the warehouse project? The warehouse project is intended to be less intense than the truck terminal project.
Okay, and what's before us is...
The warehouse project.
So that's going to be less of an impact?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? All right. At this point then, I guess we'll ask for a motion to approve. There is one.
I can make a motion, Commissioner.
Okay.
Now that I found the right paperwork, sorry about that. I'd like to move to approve resolution number PC09-25, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Orange recommending approval to the City Council of conditional use permit number 3221, major site plan review number 1166, design review number 5140, environmental review number 1889, addendum to certified environmental impact report number 1870-20, and for the demolition of existing 40,000 square foot manufacturing facility and construction of a new 213,572 square foot warehouse facility that includes 199,572 square feet of warehouse and 14,000 square feet of office space, a 450 square foot detached pump room and related site improvements located at 534 West Struck Avenue. Yeah, and there was a parentheses on SCH number. Do I have to read that into the motion for the demolition permit?
No, it's just stating the certified EIR number.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have seconded to that.
I had a comment just before we take a vote. I want to, I guess it would be an apology for asking so many questions, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew all the, you know, now that all the questions of mine have been answered and exceed what I was looking for, that this team has really done a good job. I'd like to thank the staff for doing that. And so I wanted to say that to the team. Thank you.
Thank you.
I also would like to second the comment. I was actually at the last hearing also, and we were just very excited about the project. And the fact that you came back with something even bigger and better. The City of Orange is good to have you here. Thank you so much. And I hope good success comes in for everybody.
Well, since we're all making a comment, I'll make one real quick too. I just wanted to second what was said already. And we really appreciate this. At least I really appreciate the project and the beautification of that particular part of the city. I think it's a really great project. So thank you.
Do we need to do a verbal roll call? Okay, thank you.
So we have a motion, a second, and a vote. All right. The motion passes with, let's see if I can, my counting is correct, 5 ayes and 1 recuse.
Vice Chair Leslie, I didn't hear a second.
That was Rick Martinez.
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right. With that, I would like to adjourn the meeting. Is that what I do now? Okay, very good. I'll adjourn the meeting. Our next regular Planning Commission meeting will be held on Monday, August 4th, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.